It seems that almost every Sunday we meet under the shadow of some dreadful thing that has happened in this land, and this morning is no exception. But I've decided for the purposes of the sermon to seek a certain relief and comfort just in going into the text of the Gospel in a little bit of detail. It doesn't mean that my heart and my mind are not as full as I know yours are of what happened just a little bit down the road from us. And of course, in our intercessions, we'll be thinking very much of those who've lost their lives or so much else in the fire that took place during the week at Grenfell Tower. But for today, we'll have a look at the Gospel. Before I do that, apologies for the amusing error in the reading sheet, the yellow reading sheet. I hadn't spotted it when I was checking it. It announces the reading as being from the second letter of Paul to the Romans. Now, that really would be a sensational development if someone turned up a second letter of Paul to the Romans. There is only one, and Maurer avoided the trap very dexterously and announced the reading correctly. This morning we hear the account of Jesus sending out the 12 apostles. And about this story, I'd like to notice two or three things. The first is that there are 12 of them, as there are 12 of them in the parallel account in Mark and 12 in the parallel account in Luke. But they are not quite the same 12 names in the three lists. So we had Thaddeus this morning, and Thaddeus is also in Mark, but there's no Thaddeus in Luke. I think we take it for granted that Simon the Canaanite, this morning in Matthew and also in Mark, but Simon the Zealot in Luke, are one and the same person. And where is Nathanael, who is prominent among the disciples in St. John's Gospel? Some people think that Nathanael is the same as Bartholomew, and so it goes on. The natural conclusion is that Jesus had plus or minus 12 in his inner circle. Maybe they were 11, maybe they were 13, maybe they were sometimes 14. But he spoke of them as the 12. They were thought of as the 12, and the reason why they'd be thought of as the 12 is because 12 is the number of the tribes of Israel. So we're being shown the 12 tribal fathers, if you like, of the new Israel, the people of God, the people of Christ, divided into 12 like the people of the first covenant, so the 12 tribes of the new covenant. Then you might observe that they were named in twos. I think this is extremely interesting. In Luke, they're just X and Y and Z and B and C. In Mark, they're listed as individuals, but the text says that Jesus sent them out two by two. And in Matthew, you get the pairs listed. It's significant that they're sent out to do their work in pairs, as a pair of colleagues, not as heroic individuals, but as two people joined together in their work. And that's something that you pick up in the Acts of the Apostles. Paul commonly travels and does his work together with Barnabas. And there's that wonderful moment when the two of them turn up somewhere in Asia Minor and they get garlanded and worshipped as gods. And Barnabas they called Zeus because he was clearly the good-looking and impressive one. And Paul they called Hermes because he talked such a lot. But the two are operating as a pair in the story. Sometimes John Mark is added to them to make them a triplet. But it seems to be a characteristic piece of apostolic behavior to go around in twos. There are, indeed, stories of individual and heroic ministry among the apostles, but they tend to be a little bit later in the tradition. So, for example, St. Thomas is meant to have made his way all the way down to India on his own, effectively, and to preach the gospel down the western coast of India, and the Martoma Christians of that part of the subcontinent to this day trace their lineage back to the ministering of Thomas. Even more heroic is St. Andrew, who sent off to the frozen wastes north of the Black Sea, the apostle of the Scythians, as early Christian tradition remembers him. And in some variants of the early Christian legend, he not only ministers to the barbarians north of the Black Sea, he travels even further afield to the inconceivably cold, remote, and frozen land known to us as Scotland. Hence the connection of Scotland with St. Andrew. It's the development of that story about him operating in Northern Europe, heroically and on his own. But the characteristic mode of apostolic working is to go in pairs, from which we may learn something.